Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Polacek. Every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring you special guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today in our constantly changing future. Answers for the Family will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, or dealing with addictions, and so much more. As I'm sure many of you expected to hear my buddy and co-host Alan's voice this morning, we are reminded of the reality of what he does when he's not on the air. As a licensed private investigator and crisis interventionist, he does get calls, plenty of them, and has to respond very quickly, being locating a runaway teen, escorting a teen to a specialized program, or retrieving an abducted child. Now, I spoke with Alan all weekend, and I actually got to speak with him last night late, and I learned that he's been asked to locate a runaway girl whose parents believe that, unfortunately, she may be being exploited in one of these human trafficking rings. And if you listen to the show, you know that this is all too common, these issues that Alan deals with, but he's very qualified, and I'm glad he's out there. And I'm happy to know that when I talked with him late last night, they actually had successfully rescued the girl, and they were making the arrangements to get her to a program to help her with some of the trauma that she had gone through at the center. You know, as everyone knows, this show, we deal with a lot of difficult issues. And sometimes, you know, we can turn towards more positive and nice things, such as raising children. And I was a private practice psychologist for about 15 years in Los Alamitos, California. And most of my patients were kind of your average traditional families, kind of dealing with childhood issues from behavior to, you know, autism to learning disabilities, ADHD, children having trouble in school settings, stuff along those lines. And, you know, as I think about parenting and what's important to being a parent, it's really being involved in your kid's life. And I would have patients come back 3 to 5 years later after I saw them, and they would discuss, you know, how they're doing and what's going on. And it's interesting because I would ask them a lot of questions and wonder, you know, you were so upset about when your parents wouldn't let you go to that party, or when you were grounded for this, or you were so mad at your mom for this. And none of the kids really remember or are affected by parents becoming involved in their kids' life, whether it's through, you know, setting responsibilities and boundaries and stuff like that. The one thing I noticed through kind of talking with these patients is that the problem they had was with the parents that weren't there and that weren't involved. Those were the things that stayed long with kids, not doing parenting and traditional type issues. And to further this kind of conversation on child and child development and working with families and children, we've got a very, very special guest today named Naomi Richards. Naomi was the first life coach for children working in the UK and has been coaching in the UK and throughout the world since 2004. After starting a family, she wanted a change in career. She was passionate about children, their growth, emotions, and life skills, so she retrained to be a life coach for kids. For the last 12 years, she's been doing this, and it's really truly what she loves. She's given children skills for life and empowering them to make positive changes in their life. Now, not for those that are not in the UK and want to work with Naomi, she does work face-to-face and does Skype coaching internationally as a life coach for children and families. She runs tailor-made workshops for kids in schools and regularly adds her thoughts on the world of children and parenting in the press and on Sky News. She's a very well-known motivational speaker for children and the author of The Parents Toolkit, published by Random House, and also she wrote Being Me and Loving It. We'll discuss both books today. She's got a series of books on boosting mental health in children and the inventor of the Wow Board, a self-esteem toolkit for kids, and the contribution board to encourage teamwork in families. We are very happy and lucky and to welcome you, Naomi, to Answers for the Family.
Thank you very much. Glad that you asked me to be on the show.
And what you had this huge life shift after becoming starting your own family. What kind of led to this idea of wanting to give back?
When I grew up, I had a mum who didn't work and just took care of me and my three sisters. So she was there in the morning before we went to school and when I came back from school. And I really wanted to have that lifestyle for my children when I had them. And I thought about what can I do? What kind of business can I start that would motivate me and give me, you know, the kind of pleasure that I could get from a job rather than working for somebody else? And when I started thinking about the skills that I had and what I really enjoyed doing, I realized that I liked working with kids. And one of the things that I was good at was being creative and problem solving. And I wanted the best for my kids and to be able to help other children as well. So I decided I mixed them all together, the problem solving and the creativeness and wanting to work with kids. And I came up with this idea for life coaching for children in the UK.
And when you say
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
So I knew it was happening in the States, but as far as I could see, there was nothing like it in the UK. There were therapists and there were counselors, but there was nothing that was kind of, okay, this is the here and now. How do we go forward? How do we make life better?
Have you seen in the UK kind of a implosion of life coaches, or are you still kind of the rarity?
They're becoming more and more coaches in all different areas, whether that's in the corporate world or whether that's working with families or just with parents. Some coaches have a niche, others don't.
And you say that, you know, that you work with children. Is there a specific age range for people listening, or have you found a range that you enjoy working with more than others?
I love working with children from 6 to about 13 or 14. When you start any kind of business, you have to try things out. I have worked with children that have been much younger, but because of their emotional intelligence and they're not quite in tune with all their feelings until around 6, it really wasn't successful for me. So 6 is the lowest that I work with, and I work at the moment up to about 13 or 14 years old.
And when people listening want to know probably what specific issues you do work with kids and families?
I think there's kind of been a trend over the last kind of 12 years. And I see at the moment a lot of children that have got friendship issues, whether that's online or offline, and also self-esteem and confidence. But I do also work with children that find it difficult to listen, are unmotivated, have problems with siblings or mum and dad. They find it difficult to concentrate, or their parents are going through separation and they just need somebody else to kind of talk through their feelings and understand what is going on and having some perspective on what's going on in their life.
It's amazing. We finally have a child life coach on here, and within seconds, we've got a listener question coming in from Helen in San Diego. And again, we are so thankful for all of our listeners who write in, who call in, and who want to be part of the show. Helen from San Diego obviously heard our intro discussing children, and she writes to you, Naomi, self-esteem has always been an issue, as it is part of growing up and finding oneself. But today, the issue is exploding for reasons that should not exist. I'm very concerned about the almost total elimination of the arts, music, and PE classes in the States, meaning United States. These activities are so critical to helping kids to become more well-rounded, balanced individuals. Can you give us your thoughts on this topic?
Of them not having PE?
Yeah, I think the general question is, how do we, you know, these are things I think the writer, Helen, was attributing to building self-esteem. And without that, where's our kind of route?
You know what, there are so many different ways to build self-esteem, and, you know, in terms of, the thing is that things like PE and getting changed in front of other children is actually lowering their self-esteem because of this comparison to other people's bodies. And children are aware, very aware, for maybe 4, 5, 6 of how their bodies look. So I think it's really important in terms of mental health and self-esteem for children to be out and active and, you know, getting involved and learning and running and jumping and you know, of course, you know, PE is I think it's really important for a healthy body and a healthy mind. But I think here, from what I see, is children particularly don't like getting changed in front of other people. The other thing I want to say about self-esteem is that a child up to a certain age has been quite sheltered. There are some children that haven't been to nursery, that have always been looked after by mum or dad or grandparent and haven't been exposed to various personality types. And a child's self-esteem starts getting to be rocked at around 5 or 6 years old when they find that not everybody out there is as nice as they thought they were.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking when you're sitting, you know, in front of a six-year-old who feels absolutely awful about who they are because somebody's told them that they're bossy or they're a bully or they're ugly. You know, it just takes one throwaway comment and that child starts doubting themselves.
You're hitting on a head in my life. I've got a six-year-old girl who she was, you know, boisterous, happy, would run around laughing, smiling, full of energy. And in the first grade, we've encountered one or two girls in her class and throughout the school that have just kind of been mean and said mean things to her. And she gets home and I say, "How was your day?" And I see the little tear in her eye start. And I mean, as a parent, it's the worst feeling in the world.
Yes, because it's the most important thing, isn't it? You know, we want our children to be happy. And unfortunately, you know, when their friendships aren't happy and they're having to deal with, I call them tricky people, tricky friends rather than mean, then, you know, it's, you know, how do they react? How do they interact with those kind of people? You know, how do we get them to protect themselves from those mean words or the exclusion maybe that they're feeling from those people that they, you know, they are supposed to be their friends. As far as they're concerned, you know, there's nothing wrong with them and everybody should like them and they should like everybody else. But it doesn't seem to be that way, does it?
No, and it's, as a parent, it's a helpless feeling, but it's not helpless now, it sounds like, with people like you in this world.
Well, the thing about friendships is if you've got a child that's really unhappy with their friendships, it's going to affect a lot of their life. It can affect their concentration in the classroom. They find it difficult, you know, to work because they're thinking about this thing and they're thinking about, you know, what did it mean and why isn't that person playing with them? But also when they get home, it can also make home life a little bit miserable too.
Is this why you think children have so many friendship issues, or is there other reasons?
I think the reason why I think children have friendship issues is because they're suddenly exposed at a very young age to all these different friendship types, and it's knowing how to work with those different types of personalities. You know, what do I do if somebody says this to me? What should I be thinking? What should I do? Should I say something back? Should I just walk away? Should I just be...
I think we lost you for a second here. Give me one sec. Naomi, we're having a hard time here connecting with you, so we are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with Naomi Richards.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals.
We are back on Answers for the Family with Naomi Richards. We were discussing the point of, you know, why children have so many friendship issues, and we had a small connection issue. I apologize. But Naomi, I'll re-ask you the question and let you finish your thought.
Yes, it was about friendship and you know, why do children have so many friendship issues? I think it's because they're exposed from a very young age, you know, when they're 5 or 6, and they don't really know how to get on with all the different personality types. They don't know how to interact, you know, when somebody's mean, what should they say, what should they do, should they ignore them, should they walk away? And so that can be quite tough, and I think it all boils down to problem solving and giving children the problem solving skills in relation to friendship and getting them to understand that there are so many different personality types and they will come across difficult people.
And I think that's brilliant. You know, the idea of having different personalities, types, and skills and ways to deal with it. But I don't know that the average parent knows how to kind of talk to their kid or deal with it. So is that, are these the type of issues that come to you on a daily basis?
Oh my goodness, yes. And they're the ones that I absolutely love because friendships is, you know, it's such a huge subject. There are lots of kids that don't know how to make friends. There are lots of kids that don't know how to keep friends. And there's also, you know, what does a child do if they, you know, they're with a possessive friend? How do they get away with that person, get away from that person? How do they, you know, communicate effectively with them? What do they do if they want to be with another group? How do they leave one group and then move to the other group? So there's so many different scenarios around friendships that children need help with. And, you know, we role play. I teach them how to communicate effectively. I give them different ideas and tools of how they can interact more successfully. And just understand situations. I think one of the biggest ones is mind reading. You know what mind reading is?
No.
Mind reading is when children will see a group perhaps talking amongst themselves, and when they look over at that, those particular children, and those children think, oh my gosh, they're talking about me. And it's just getting them to see that actually, that, you know, when people, kids whisper, doesn't necessarily mean it's about them. They could be talking about anything, and what they need to do is think that they're not talking about them, and even if they are, they're saying something positive, not something negative.
This is amazing. I mean, you know, it seems like this is the missing kind of gap because, you know, we have psychiatrists, we have medical doctors, we have, you know, licensed therapists who seem to deal with the issues once they get too far. But this seems, your role seems to be on, okay, we got an issue here. This could evolve into something worse, but by reaching Naomi or by reaching a life coach, we can kind of nip this in the bud before we get to a point where we're looking at serious interventions, medications, and, you know, I don't know, other stuff. So to me, it seems like this friendship thing, and what other kind of issues have parents brought you that you seem that are kind of in your wheelhouse?
Lack of confidence, and obviously self-esteem as well. When they've got a child that, you know, a child that won't put their hands up in class, is very afraid of getting it wrong. It doesn't have the confidence to perhaps make new friends as well, touching on friendships briefly, who is unwilling to try new things because they're going to fail. You know, children that are, the behavior particularly may not be great in class, they're misbehaving, or they're misbehaving at home because they're not getting quite what they need from home. And I find that most of that time it's around time. And it's about attention from their parents too.
And before we get to our first, you know, break, I do want to introduce the Parents Toolkit, which is your first book. Was it working with families that we'll get into kind of the details of the book later, but I'm kind of interested in what inspired you to write the book. Was it to fill a gap that you felt was missing, or did it come out of the work you did, or where did it come from?
I had files and files and files of all the children that I've worked with, and I'd written down with every single child that I've worked with all these different tools and strategies that I'd given them. And I was thinking, this is crazy, you know, parents could do with some of these strategies and tools. So let's produce a toolkit and get them, you know, get all these ideas on paper so that parents are just stuck. And I think that's, you know, true. We do get stuck and we don't know where to go. So let's have this toolkit where people can go and they can pick it up. They can read a chapter, get some tools from it, and then, you know, put it back on the shelf until they need it next time. And so, yeah, I had all these ideas, and I was like, these have got to be shared.
Yeah. It's interesting. As we're speaking again, we've got another person, Ellen, writing in. I was thrilled to read about your work and two books. We have proposed parenting classes sponsored by our PTA, that's Parent Teachers Association, and the reception has been amazing. The number one comment of parents with elementary age children is their fear about their upcoming teen years. They are seeing parents just like themselves struggling terribly, and they're looking for answers and methods to create better outcomes. I have ordered your books to share with our group, and many of our team are listening into today's programs. Do you see the same fear of the teenage years?
I get contact from parents who, you know, the child is maybe 10, 11, 12, and they can see tantrums happening already. And, you know, it's all about communication. I think, you know what, if we can get parents and children to start having some really open communication, which is non-judgmental from the parents, then those children will come to the parents when they've got problems or they've got questions. We as children need to know that we are there for them. And we need to start building communication and great communication with our kids from a very early age. You know, make sure that we're connecting with them and we're doing stuff with them on a regular basis, so that they enjoy our company and they like being with us, and we show them that we actually really like and appreciate them too.
It's interesting. What I hear from you is similar to what I was saying in the intro. It's truly being an involved parent and building that relationship. You know, I know we're focusing on the relationship of the child and others, but it's really your parent, you as the parent and your child having an open sort of relationship. And that's kind of a big point to this, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. Often after a coaching session, with the child's permission, I will share what we've talked about with mum or dad. And some of that will be about, you know, the relationship that they have with their parents. And the child will often say to me that they want to spend more time with mum or dad. And they feel that, you know, mum or dad is nagging them and they don't want, you know, they ask them to do stuff and they don't want to do it. And it's just building up, I suppose, this respect and this me asking the parents to put some time aside for their child and get them to do something regularly, so that they, you know, they're building for those tricky years, really.
Yeah, and they're coming. You know, it's interesting, as you were speaking, you know, I heard you say mom and dad, and I dropped my daughter off for her Halloween parade this morning at school. And, you know, in the United States, I think that, you know, fathers have come a long way. But I still, you know, when I walk to school with my daughter, I'd still say it's 80-90% of mothers. In the UK and in the US, because I know you work with a lot of people in the US too, are you seeing more fathers involved, or am I kind of just being pessimistic?
No. I do definitely see more fathers involved. It's really interesting, actually. I've got a couple of clients at the moment where, you know, mum started all the communication, but now I'm having all the communication with dad, you know, because mum's a lot of dads that will bring their children to me too. So, you know, it's really great to see.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's funny because I think that, you know, people worry about, you know, do they need a mom? Do they need a father? But as a parent, you can only be in control of what you can be in control of. And it's kind of your duty to try to make sure you're doing your part.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can only do the best for our children. And, you know, there's so many great resources out there to help us to be really great, great parents. But, you know, only we know our children and we know what makes them tick. And we know how to get the best from them as well. And we have to use our intuition, don't we, when we parent, and go with our gut on making lots of different decisions and how we interact with them. But I think sometimes we do forget and we need reminding too.
Well, we are talking with Naomi Richards. Naomi, we are going to take a quick break. And when we get back, I want to focus on the books, both of them, actually. I want to talk about the Parent Toolbook. And I also want to talk about being me. So for all of you listening, thanks for listening to Answers for the Family, and we will be right back.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
Welcome back to Answers for the Family. I am your co-host, Dr. Matt Polacek. As I mentioned earlier, Alan is out and about saving lives, but he'll be back in studio next Monday. And today we are joined, as I said earlier, by Naomi Richards. We are very excited to have you, Naomi. And we started talking a little bit about the Parents Toolkit before the break. But for those of you out there and for the people kind of in the United States listening in, I guess, and people all over the world, when they purchase the parent toolkit, what are they really getting?
What they're getting is getting ideas of how they can communicate more effectively with their child, how they can gain cooperation with from their child, but also when they come up with different kind of, I suppose, areas and scenarios of problems that their children are having, there are ideas and strategies of how they can help their child. For example, there's a chapter on moving from primary school to secondary school transition, as we call it. And it touches on, you know, getting lost, homework, new teachers. Now, these are all the kind of fears that a child will have when they're moving schools. And I give them ideas of what they can do. How do they alleviate those fears? How can they talk to their children about the secondary school transition? I show them how to do homework scheduling. So, you know, it's a bundle of ideas that they may know, but also there's some really good fresh ideas and tools that they can use.
And I'm thankful I have a copy, and it really is well-structured, and it's a great book. But will you briefly tell us a little bit about the terms of X that you refer to in the book?
The terms of?
You talk about key tools in the book, and is there a specific...
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, there are tools that chapter. The way that I display the tools within the book are very much about dialogue. So there'll be a situation of, you know, like, how do you actually use that tool? You know, what can you say? How do you say it, for instance? So there's a tool for every single chapter. And at the end of the chapter, and I think at the back of the book as well, there's also a list of all the tools that you can do. So there's, off the top of my head, I think there's, like, you know, communication tools. There's one about how to gain cooperation. There's self-esteem tools, confidence tools, etc.
Quite a it's really
comprehensive. And there are also case studies as well in the book. I forgot to mention the case studies.
Yeah, and the way I'm looking through it actually, yeah, as we're speaking, and just comprehensive of whatever would come up for a kid is in here, which is great. And then you write this book, and then you meet Julia, who I'm curious about,
yeah,
and you have success with this, and you write another book. Tell us about Being Me, Julia, and that experience.
Oh my gosh, this is crazy. So, you know, I never expected to meet Julia. Chance meeting, I went and spoke in a school. I was speaking to a group of children and their parents. And this lady, Julia, was working in the school, and she had self-published a book. And I obviously had the parents' toolkit. I took her book, she took mine, we swapped, we both read it. And I said, oh my gosh, I love your book. I contacted her, and we about a year later, we reconnected, and she said, I really want to write a book for girls. I don't know what it's going to be about, but could you help me find a publisher? And I said to her, don't be silly, let's write the book together. So we started off with this small idea of just writing a book which was for girls, and it developed into something much more. It became 29 stories, and the stories are, oh God, every time I read them, I feel something different about them.
Yeah.
They address, every single story addresses something that a child may go through between the ages of 6 and 13. So a child may come home, for instance, and say, oh gosh, you know, like, I really hate it. You know, I really hate changing in front of other people. So there'll be a story about changing in front of other people and not accepting the way that you look and how your body is, because again, you're comparing yourself to other people, and about this person who changes their mind and kind of gets this confidence and isn't so worried about, you know, their smelly feet or, you know, rushing so that nobody can see their body. And the story kind of, you know, it is about self-acceptance. And there's a lot of the stories that we focus on are about raising self-esteem, accepting yourself, you know, problems that they may come up with on social media, you know, body image. There's one of, you know, there's quite a bit on being too tall or being too small. The stuff about, you know, when we have learning difficulties, you know, what do we do? How do we feel about ourselves when we've got a learning difficulty? But instead of just producing a book that was about stories that children could read or be read to, that gets them to think, oh my gosh, that story's about me, it could be about me, we've incorporated discussion points and different activities that you could do with your child. So it's essentially, it started off as a parenting book. We realized that it was a great tool for teachers to use in the classroom. And we've also seen that it, you know, it definitely can be used for parents. And a lot of parents have been buying it because the kids really enjoy the stories. And it, and as I said, you know, it gets them to think, there's this person that has the same type of issue as me. And look how they overcame that. Look at the strategies they use and look how they feel now. So it's very empowering, a very strong book, I feel.
Yeah, and it's really different from the parent toolbook. I mean, they're two totally different and very, you know, must-haves for any parent or young, you know, child basically to read through. And you know, we're really excited about them, and people that are listening are thinking, you know, I want to be able to work with Naomi, I'm interested in some of this stuff. What is, explain this whole Skype coaching and how does it work?
So I live in London, and generally people that can get to me, that can drive within kind of an hour and a half, 2 hours from my office, will come and drive and see me, and we'll have face-to-face sessions. But I also work internationally, and for people that, you know, live all over the place and just can't get to me. So we do Skype sessions too. And I do half an hour Skype sessions with the child. And then in between sessions, I have, with the child's permission, as I've mentioned before, I communicate back to the parent about what we've talked about so that we all work together. The parent's on board, I'm on board, and the child knows what they have to do, but they have the support from mum or dad or another guardian. So Skype's brilliant. I mean, you know, obviously the video's on, because I need to see the child and their face and expressions and their emotions. And, you know, we talk, we discuss, we do activities, we can do role play on Skype. And they take a few notes, and, you know, they can make posters out of the notes and put them in their bedroom to remind them of what we've talked about. It's great. It's great to be able to have parents and children access me from wherever they are.
You know, Alan, when he's on the show, always asks, and I finally have kind of come around and understood why it's so important. Will you share with us a success story from the Skyping, or a story in your practice?
You know what? I will.
Or more, a few. I think it's nice for people to get to.
Okay.
You.
Okay, so this is a really nice one, and you know, it really shows the commitment from parents getting on board too. So I have a parent who hasn't been very well, and therefore hasn't been spending much time with her children, and really, the child was feeling very disengaged. And, you know, was wondering why everybody else kind of had these parents that were around and they didn't. And we talked about what they needed from mom and dad. And mom has gradually been feeling a little bit better. And I had a great session with the child. It was a Skype session. And I went back to mom and I said, you know, there are a couple of things that I think would be really amazing. I think, you know, definitely sit around the table and come up with some really great rules that, you know, the children can, that you can all have. But also, you know, I want you to start spending some time with your child and your children as a whole. And she's really kind of grabbed the bull by the horns. So, you know, she's been in a place where she hasn't really been able to parent. But she sees now, and she's listening through from the pet child telling me, she hears it from a different place. So she realizes the value that she needs to reconnect with her child, and she needs to start communicating. So I've been teaching her about the things that she can do from what the child is telling me what they need. So that's one thing. Another child that I've been working with is a slightly older girl who has been finding it really, really difficult to settle into secondary school. And I get quite a lot of these in kind of September, October time. And she, you know, she's finding it really, really difficult. So I've been teaching her, you know, how to make friends again. You know, when was the, you know, does she remember when she went into primary school, and how did she make friends then? You know, it was very much about playing next to somebody and talking to them and sharing toys. But this time, when you're 11 years old, you've actually got to make the effort. So we've been role-playing, and I've been getting her to pretend that I'm a new friend. And we've been doing lots of that, and I've been making suggestions about how she can use social media effectively, because obviously using a phone and connecting on things like WhatsApp's really important. And a week later, she's come back and she's like so happy in a week, because she has set up for four of her friends to come to her house this week. And she's been using WhatsApp and everybody's been very, very nice. And she feels so much happier. And that's what I want. That's my aim. You know, for me, coaching kids is about, you know, let's just get down to the nitty gritty. Let's talk about what it is that's bothering you. What's making you unhappy? What can happen? What needs to happen to make you happy? And how do you get there? And how do you get there quickly? And you know what? Kids are so, so receptive to this. They want to be happy, and they want to be happy now, or they want to be happy tomorrow. And that's where coaching is hugely successful in my eyes. Because they just take on board and they are thirsty to learn these new ideas and these new skills.
I mean, it's just so incredible when I'm listening to you how, you know, there's all these issues parents or kids are facing and they just don't get addressed. They don't get discussed. We get in our routine, our day-to-day life. You come home, you throw on a TV, you have a dinner. That's a whole nother issue. I feel like family dinners are gone now at this point. but we're even if we're sitting at dinner, we're not talking about feelings. There's no one's role playing out there. And you and I both know how important that is. Even if you don't have a life coach to role play a conversation with your kid and kind of see how he responds and how he could respond. And these are, you know, old therapy techniques that just are really out the door. But my hope is that parents listening and people that read your books will start to integrate some of these really exciting and helpful tools.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I think is really important, and I often remind parents about, is that, first of all, they say they're spending time with their children, but they will say to me, when I ask them, are you spending one-on-one time with your child, what are you doing? They'll suddenly realize that actually they're not spending one-on-one time with their children. That's the first thing. I think the second thing is when you can get to have dinner together, have dinner together. And, you know, each share three things about your day so that, you know, you start that communication. You can ask, you know, that you say those three things and then you can start to ask questions and delve into it more. And also, you know, we are role models. You know, if we start talking to a child, to our children and saying, hey, you know, this is what happened to me today. What do you think I should have done? So let's start getting the critical thinking skills working and the problem solving skills working in our children's heads so that they can start to see and think about our stuff that's going on and then be able to kind of think about how they would relate, you know, if they were in a situation like that or in a different situation, what would they do?
You know, as you're speaking, I'm like, you know, taking it all in and enjoying it. And I'm thinking about right now that we're in a very serious political climate with a huge election coming up. And there's such strong polarities within both campaigns. And I notice I come home and yap something and the TV's yapping something and my wife's yapping something. And instead of having conversations about this, it's just opinion. And there's a lot of hate and there's a lot of anger and a lot of emotion tied to it. But there's no critical conversation or thinking in these families. Mine, guilty, you know. But I just don't see it. And this is a perfect opportunity here for parenting, where instead of just, you know, taking a side and, you know, spewing anger and, you know, and feeling.
Yeah, great opportunity to discuss what's going on in the world around the table and to, you know, to say to your child, you know, what do you think? You know, how amazing to be asked what I think. You know, from a child's perspective, you know, it's really interesting some of the ideas they come up with too. I think, you know, talking about stuff that's going on in the news, talking about stuff that's going on in their lives and having discussions about it is really good, you know, and that's for a child when it comes to self-esteem and having those kind of discussions and involving them and listening to them and hearing them. It's really important.
Yeah, because I would guess that most kindergarten through fifth, sixth graders would have an opinion on one of the, you know, the candidates, but they wouldn't know four to five things that they stand for. So it's kind of scary, you know. That's society and the parenting's problem.
Yeah, and the older the children get, you know, things are being discussed in schools. They're discussing it with their friends. They're seeing stuff in the news. You know, and that has, you know, that has a big impact on them. They've got all these different places, but you know what? Families and beliefs, they kind of come from home, and they need to know how we feel about things too, and we need to know how they feel. You know, I think it's a reciprocal kind of, you know, it's a communication thing.
If there was, you know, we're obviously running out of time. And if there was one kind of advice you would give to families listening, aside from go out and buy the parent toolkit, is there in the other book, is there anything that, you know, jumps off at you that's kind of an easy thing to think about that you'd kind of give for advice to parents?
I think for me, the most important thing is time to spend, you know, if you can spend one-to-one time every week or every day with your child, I think that's a huge benefit. I think we need to be able to tap into, you know, and notice changes in our children for when they need to talk. And, you know, it is about, everything's about communication. You know, we want our children to come to us and we want them to be able to say whatever they want to us and trust us with their thoughts and their feelings. You know, it seems that, you know, when they're in the playground is not quite what it used to be, or maybe we see things differently now, and, you know, with social media, that, you know, we should be the safe place for them. We should be the place that they can say anything. And, you know, we should be that place of safety and security for them, because the world is getting more difficult, you know, and, you know, we need to provide that stability to them. They need to know that we are there for them, or we are their number one fan.
And these skills you're saying are things that it doesn't take a college education or a doctor or lawyer to be able to do. These are simply being human.
Being human, being listening to your child and helping them, navigate through life and, encourage them to try their best and, encourage healthy, competition in them. And, we want to be able to raise good human beings that have some, some strong values. They know where they came from, they know where they come from, they know what's right, they know what's wrong. And a lot of that is going to be about them being with us. They're going to be, they're watching us. They're listening to us all the time. And we need to make sure that we are a good representation of what we want them to be in the future. Mm.
Well, again, we are here with Naomi Richards. The two books, The Parent's Toolkit and Being Me, are available, I believe, on Amazon and other sites. Correct, Naomi?
Correct. Yes, definitely Amazon.
And to reach you for Skype sessions, how do they do that?
Well, I have a contact page on my website, which is www.thekidscoach.org.uk. And if they click on contact, they can fill in a form there, or they can email me at naomi@thekidscoach.org.uk.
And obviously, they can go on the Answers for the Family website and connect link-wise to you. Naomi, thank you so much for spending time with us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
By the way, what time is it there?
It is 6:45.
Quarter to seven. Okay, so we're just getting started here, and you're going down.
Oh, I'm just about to go out. It's Halloween.
Oh, all right. Well, have a great Halloween, Naomi, and thank you for all the knowledge and help, and have a great year.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
And for those listening, please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when our guest, Paul Aubin, author of the new book, Secrets of the Father, shares the true story of his search for his birth parents that lead to a discovery, a scandalous cover-up. And if you missed or want to share our shows with your friends, please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com. You may also subscribe or resubmit your name to download your free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal, your 21-day guide to achieving the quality of thankfulness through self-discovery. And the next time you're on Facebook and Twitter, please remember to stop by our page and check some of our latest posts. And if you like them, please like us and spread the word. Thank you all for listening. We're excited to have Alan back in the studio next week, and we appreciate everyone listening to Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.